Well, we're going to be looking at James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25 this morning, so you can have your Bibles open to James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. You know, there is hearing, and then there is hearing. Sometimes I hear what my wife says to me, could even repeat it right back to her right then, but it doesn't really sink in, and I forget it quickly. She doesn't like that. And then there's the kind of hearing that takes what is said to heart. It's a hearing that heeds, which is the kind that in the last section we looked at last Sunday, James has just said concerning the Word of God, the hearing of God's Word in this way, produces righteousness in our lives. And this righteousness is expressed in doing the word that is heard. And so we're going to read a passage now that follows on, that continues on from the passage we looked at last week, and it's verses 22 through 25. So I invite you, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's word from James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Hear the word of God. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So that very first sentence, James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So James warns us against being deceived into thinking that all God cares about is our hearing, irrespective of our obedience. Last week I shared an illustration I'd heard about how God is not like a Stepford wife. God is our boss. He's in control. We're under his authority. He wants not hearing that forgets, but a hearing that leads to obedience. And James warns us here in this sentence against being deceived into thinking that hearing without heeding will grow us in righteousness. We looked last week, if you remember, verse 20 of chapter 1, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James is interested in God's righteousness being produced in us becoming more like Christ. Those of us who have been justified by faith in Christ are, by God's grace, also being transformed more and more into the image of the one who has won our justification. And so James doesn't want us to be deceived into thinking that a hearing without heeding will grow us in righteousness. I don't know if you've ever gotten a piece of exercise equipment and set it up in a room, and maybe you even went out there and sat next to it, maybe even sat in the same room as it and looked at it. thought about using it, but never really did, and then you wonder why it's not getting you into shape. Well, James says that it's a deception to think that the sort of hearing that doesn't actually heed what is heard, that doesn't lead to that, such that one puts into practice what is heard, will actually bless us. James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He doesn't want us to be deceived into thinking that the kind of hearing that doesn't lead to action is going to grow us into shape, grow us in righteousness. He goes on and he says then, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. So what good does the kind of hearing that forgets do you, Remember, there's hearing and then there's hearing. And the kind of hearing that forgets, that kind of hearing doesn't do us any good. Maybe you listen to a sermon, you think, I need to do this. But then you leave, get distracted, put it out of your mind, forget about it, and stay the same. You know, one can intently, it's interesting, James here, he says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. Maybe you've gotten up in the morning and you've looked at yourself in the mirror and it's been intent. This intent looking, but then forgetting, it's not going to do good, that kind of looking. You know, one can intently study the Bible and theology, listen to sermons, memorize passages of Scripture, and yet still fall short of the meek receptivity of faith that leads to personal transformation. You remember what James said back up in verse 21, he said, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. There in the sense of salvation being transformed into Christ-likeness, sanctification unto glorification, then in accordance with that, on the basis of Christ's righteousness, accepted into glory, brought into glory. This receive with meekness the implanted word, this is a receiving of faith. Hearing in faith, receiving with meekness. And so you can do these things, even intently study the Scriptures and listen to sermons and memorize passages, and yet if there's not this receiving in meekness the Word of God, this hearing in faith, then it won't result in personal transformation. It won't do a spiritual good. That's interesting. That you can have that kind of intense study of the Word of God, but one that's devoid of meek, humble receptivity of it, personal acceptance of it in faith. That's interesting that kind of even intent hearing without faith won't do any spiritual good. It's interesting, and it's a warning. It's a warning. James wants us to grow in righteousness. He wants us to be hearers that heed the Word of God. Yeah, I went to seminary with some folks who spent a lot of time studying the Scriptures intently, but who lacked the humble receptivity of genuine faith. One of the most intellectually proud and self-absorbed people I've ever met was a very academically decorated theology student I went to school with. James is teaching that we're to be hearers of the word who do it, and in that we'll be blessed. James uses here a funny illustration and says that the problem is kind of like this. If I can play it out a bit. You get up in the morning and look in the mirror. You notice a zit. You see a chocolate smudge on your chin from dessert last night. You see some hair work that needs to be done. And after looking intently for a while, you turn to grab a towel and begin thinking about breakfast, leave for the kitchen, and forget about your face, and end up walking out of the house for work looking like Captain Smudge. You saw what needed to be done by looking at your face in a mirror, but you weren't actually committed enough to do anything about it, to follow through on it. One year in woodshop class, a guy, I think his name was Troy, if I remember right, sat through the safety instruction that was given at the beginning of every year. This was maybe our second or third year of woodshop class. So he knew that when you used the table saw, you were to keep the guard down. You were to have a receiver to receive the board you were feeding through. And he knew to keep your hand away from the blade. But one day, Troy pinned the guard up, used the saw without a buddy to receive the board on the other side, and when his board began kicking up, he instinctively reached out to slam it down and cut his finger off in the process. He heard the instructions, but he didn't heed them, and bad stuff happened. James goes on, he says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James says that there is blessing in putting into practice the Word of God. We had read that passage from Luke 11:28, where Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it." That's the kind of hearing that results in keeping, this hearing of faith that then results into putting it into obedient action. And James is telling us here that in putting the Word of God into action, there's blessing in doing that. It's kind of like there's blessing in using the exercise equipment. James says there's blessing in putting into practice the Word of God. Looking into it and persevering with action is in this verse contrasted with looking at it and forgetting it. So the one looking in the mirror, they look at their face in the mirror and forget. That kind of looking is contrasted now with where he says, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing. So we have this contrast, looking into the word and persevering with action, contrasted with looking at and forgetting. So again, there is hearing and then there is hearing. There is a kind of hearing that forgets and then there is a kind of hearing that does, and that kind of hearing is blessed, and it's blessed in the doing that results from it. This latter kind, this good kind of hearing, involves a faith commitment to what is heard that gets expressed in action. And what is it that's being heard? James here in this passage speaks of it as, quote, the perfect law, the law of liberty. Now, what does that mean? James is already in context referred to verse 18, the word of truth. And then in verse 21, the implanted word. Now he speaks of, in verse 25, the perfect law, the law of liberty. So what does that mean? Why add the description perfect? Or it could also be translated as mature or finished or completed. This perfect or mature or finished or completed law. Why add that descriptive word as well as then the descriptive phrase of liberty? He says the perfect law of liberty. So why add perfect and of liberty to the law here in this verse? What's James talking about? Well, the law is perfected not in the sense of ever having been tainted, but of having been incomplete and powerless before its fulfillment in the coming of the Redeemer. The law pointed out that we were sinners in need of a Savior. It told us God's holy requirements. And yet it didn't provide the salvation or the power. It didn't provide the record of righteousness that we needed to stand before God. It didn't provide the power to obey it, but it promised one who would. It promised the coming of Christ, and it promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so when James refers to the law now, and remember, this is he's writing to those who, like him, have faith in Christ. Chapter 2, he says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." So he's writing to brothers who share his faith in Christ, who has come. And so when James says that this law is perfect and of liberty, again, the law is perfected not in the sense of ever having been tainted, but of having been incomplete and powerless before its fulfillment in the coming of the Redeemer, who was born under the law. Think of Galatians 4:4-7. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law." So the law was incomplete and powerless before its fulfillment in the coming of the Redeemer, who was born under the law. Whereas our representative, he fulfilled all righteousness and atoned for our sins, and then baptized us with the Holy Spirit to indwell and empower us for the freedom of obedience in the new covenant under grace. In short, in speaking of the perfect law of liberty, perfection and liberty, completion and freedom, maturity and freedom. I think James is speaking of the law in its developed maturity as we now relate to it in Christ through his fulfillment of it and in the wonderful freedom and spiritual empowerment of the new covenant. So James' designation of the perfect law, the law of liberty, implies the gospel and indicates its entailments of obedience to the Lord. And so James uses it as another way in context here of speaking of what he's already referred to in verse 18 as the word of truth, and in verse 29, the implanted word, both of which, all of which include the gospel of our salvation through faith in Christ, along with its entailment of our obedient discipleship to him. And so, brothers and sisters, when we read or hear God's word preached, or when we read or hear it read, are we personally looking for ways to do it? It's for our blessing. That verse that was read in between the songs has recently struck me personally and as a pastor. There Jesus says in Luke 11:28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Do you want to be blessed? I know I want to be blessed, and here Jesus says is a way of blessing. Keeping God's word. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. The kind of hearing that resolves in keeping it. And as James says, in doing it, we will be blessed. At the very end of verse 25, he will be blessed in his doing. I want for me and for you to be blessed in the doing of God's word, as Jesus teaches will happen. By hearing and keeping God's word, we will be blessed. James says, in doing it, we will be blessed. There's blessing in putting God's word into practice in our lives. So let me ask this in closing. Are you relating to God's word in the faith that takes it in and lives it out? That takes God at his word and so then responds to his word as well in putting it into obedient practice action in our lives. This reliance on God's word that then results in obedience. This taking in and living out of God's word. If you're not relating to God's word in the faith that actually takes it in and lives it out, that's the kind of hearing that then result, not the kind that results in forgetting, but that results then in doing it, If you're not relating to God's word in the faith that takes it in and lives it out, then this passage is calling for that to change. James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And so we are justified by faith alone in Christ, and that faith which justifies results in our lives in obedience and in walking in obedience to the Lord. We find great blessing as we are transformed into his likeness, as the righteousness of God is produced in us, as James says, references in verse 20. There's great blessing in doing his word. And James doesn't want us to be deceived into thinking that the kind of hearing that produces no doing of the Lord's word will result in blessing. So if you're wondering, or if you, you know, notice, if you've thought of, you know, I wonder why so-and-so, they've been going to church all their lives, and yet they seem exactly the same as they were when, you know, 20 years ago I knew them sort of. One of the things that's encouraging to us as is seeing God's grace at work in us in this way, also in others. I remember somebody very close to me who it's been an encouragement to me in my life in seeing the transformation that God's done in his life as he has taken in and lived out God's word. And so, brothers and sisters, let us, second Sunday of the new year, this year be one of taking in and living out the word of God, and so being blessed for our good and his glory. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the great salvation that we have in Christ, the justification that we stand through faith alone in Christ alone, and that by your grace in our lives, you are working out more and more Christ-likeness as we continue to put into practice the implanted word that we have received. And so may we be blessed as we this year do your word for your glory and our good. And we thank you for what you're promising here to us that you will do as we do it, that we will be blessed. And we thank you for your innumerable blessings to us already in Christ. And we do give you thanks and praise. Praise you from whom all blessings flow, all that are gifts to us of your grace. For we pray it in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.